Well, good morning, everybody. How are you doing this morning? Good morning. Awesome. It's good to see you guys here. Hey, my name's Don, and if you don't recognize me, it's because I'm typically not here on a Sunday. I'm usually down in Waterford leading worship down there, and it's just great to be able to be up here and share God's word with you this morning. We're finishing out our Second Chance series that we've been going through this whole month, and today we're going to spend some time looking at the heart of a second chancer. And we're going to be looking at the story of Joseph. We're going to be looking at Joseph in Genesis, not Joseph, the husband of Mary, Jesus' mom, Joseph, not that Joseph. We're going to be looking at Joseph in Genesis. So if you grab your Bibles, turn with me to Genesis chapter 50. Genesis chapter 50, verse 20 is where we're going to be at. It's on page 85. If you don't have a Bible with you, just grab the church Bible right in front of you. While you're turning there, I want to throw a pop quiz at you. I always hated pop quizzes because I never did well at them, but hey, I'm gonna throw one at you anyways. Okay, so we've been learning about second chances, and one of our biggest takeaways is that there are three second chance positions. Now, I want to hear from you guys, what are the three second chance positions? Anybody, just yell it out. What's the first one? You can be a second chance giver, I heard. Second chance giver. What's the other one? Second chance receiver. And the last one? Second chance withholder, that's right. Okay, so we learned that you can be a second chance receiver. We learned that you could be a second chance giver. And we've learned that you can't be a second chance giver if you haven't yet been a second chance receiver. And if you're not a second chance receiver or a second chance giver, then we've learned that you are a second chance withholder. It's an interesting thing about second chances. How many of us want to have a second chance all the time, whether we deserve it or not? I mean, it doesn't matter what we said, doesn't matter what we did, doesn't matter what kind of, you know, painful thing we might have done to somebody. How many of us want a second chance every single time, whether we deserve it or not? Let me see your hands. Look at all those hands. I want a second chance every time. Believe me, I usually don't deserve it, all right? I probably never deserve a second chance, but I want one every single time. Here's the irony of second chances. How many of you would say, yes, every single time, I want to give someone a second chance who doesn't deserve it. I don't feel like it. What they did to me was terrible, but I'll give them a second chance every time. How many of you put your hands? No, I don't want to give a second chance. Don, seriously, you don't know what they said, man. You don't know what they did to me. I know personally, I don't want to give a second chance when it's in my power to give because I want them to suffer for what they did, right? I mean, they did something that hurt me. Well, today we're going to be spending some time looking at the heart of a second chancer. And we see that in the story of Joseph in Genesis. Now, I want you guys to do something this weekend. The story of Joseph is quite expansive. We don't have the time to go through it all. It's in chapter 37 of Genesis. Skip a chapter, and then it's in chapter 39 through 50. We don't have time to read all that today. So I want you guys to go home this week. I want you to read chapters 37 of Genesis and chapters 39 through 50. It is quite an amazing story. It's one of my favorites in the Bible. The plot twists will just blow your mind up. It's crazy, all right? But go home and read it, okay? Because you're going to see the heart of a second chancer. I want to introduce you to Tom. Tom has the heart of a second chancer. See, the heart of a second chancer sees second chances where most of us would see hopelessness. I've come to know Tom as we've started our campus in Waterford, and I first started seeing him right in the very back of our auditorium down there, and he was always there. And the first time I saw him, I was like, man, I had pity for him. And then I got to know him, I got to learn about his story, and the second chance that he sees is amazing, it's inspiring. I could tell you about Tom's story, but I think I'd rather show it to you. This is Tom's story.
I really don't think I suffer with cerebral palsy. I just have it. When I was born, the doctor told my parents I would live about 5 days. Another doctor told my parents to put me away in an institution because I would be a vegetable for the rest of my life. I think that doctor was wrong. He would have been right if he'd have said I would raise vegetables, but I don't think that's what he meant. As a child, instead of playing, I took my birthday money and bought an appliance dolly. I rented it to people who were moving. I used the profit I made from renting out the dolly and bought a riding lawnmower. I mowed lawns, and at 15, I hired my first employee. In high school, I was different from everyone else, so I decided that when I graduated, I was going to set the world on fire. But I was living in a fantasy world. In the real world, I was handicapped. Mentally, I could handle being a foreman for my dad's 3,000-acre farming operation. Physically, I couldn't even order a load of fertilizer because no one understood my words. I slowly felt like a nobody. My cerebral palsy got worse, and the doctor put me on Valium. A little made me feel good. More would make me feel better, and a lot was the best of all. After a few months, I didn't feel good anymore. One day I sat in my room with scissors pointed at my chest, praying that God would cause the phone to ring, startle me, and thrust the scissors into my heart. God did not answer my prayers that day. I did get help from a psychiatrist and slowly got my confidence back. Then I bought a printing shop. I had no clue on how to print things, but built it up to where I added a newspaper. I had power, 12 employees, and money, but still didn't feel whole. After a while, I met Kathy. We dated for about a year and then began to talk about marriage. Kathy and I had a private service with a priest and an aide. 2 years later, I started building a new business. I decided to grow flowers. However, Kathy and I couldn't find any help. The business was being shut down, we were arguing, my temper was flaring on a regular basis. I felt as though the whole world was against me. During this time, we met and hired an aide named Day. She began to talk about how God could help me. I listened, but I was too proud. I didn't need anyone else. God was for when I died. My life had everything, but nothing. I just didn't see it. One night, I was lying in bed with Kathy's arm around me, and I started crying uncontrollably. She had no idea why. In between my sobbing, I was able to tell her that nothing was right. I might as well give up. She asked me why I didn't ask Jesus for help. I was so broken that I decided it couldn't hurt to pray the salvation prayer with her. I was waiting for fireworks or a real big light in the sky, but nothing happened, or so I thought.
In the way, your power and my faith and glory. And now, every breath, no doubt, superstition, the real power is the power of God and God in me. The ancient difference is the Holy Spirit in me. I feel guide me daily. I am here because I feel God helps me to move. I'm not quite sure why, but here I am.
Tom's actually at our Waterford campus today, but if you do ever see him, he's just sitting in the back, and would just stop and tell him if his story's encouraged you at all. He would really be encouraged by that. You know, that one of the things that Tom has in common with the story of Joseph is that he has the heart of a second chancer. As we look into the story of Joseph, like I said, there is so much in the story of Joseph, we cannot cover it all today. So, I want you to grab your handouts. I want you to get your writing hand ready. We're gonna just kind of cruise through the front half of these notes because I want to spend some time on the back half of the story of Joseph. So I feel like the back half of the story of Joseph is where we really see the heart of a second chancer. Okay? So we're going to go through these pretty quick. The first one we see here, Joseph was a second chance giver. All right? Joseph was a second chance giver, and he gave a second chance to his very own brothers. His brothers, in stark contrast, were second chance withholders. All right? So Joseph's brothers were second chance withholders. Now, why was Joseph a second chance giver? That's because Joseph was a second chance receiver. Remember that we learned earlier on, and we mentioned already today, that you cannot be a second chance giver until you become a second chance receiver. Let me break it down a little bit. What does that mean? That second chance, you can't be a second chance giver until you're a second chance receiver. Here's the idea of this. God gives each and every one of us a second chance so that you and I can give others second chances. This is kind of the heart, if you will, the heart of the matter at the heart of a second chancer. You see, the second chancer realizes that God has given me a second chance. A second chance when I least deserved it. A second chance unconditionally. And that second chance has the power to change everything. God gives us those second chances so that we can give others second chances. See, Joseph was a second chance receiver, and because he received a second chance, that gave him the ability to have a second chance perspective. Joseph had a second chance perspective. All right, you got your Bibles open to Genesis chapter 50. Let's read this. Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20. Joseph says, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." Say, Don, what exactly is going on? All right, we just jumped to the very tail end of the story of Joseph. There is so much in the story of Joseph, I can't possibly give you all the details, so you got to go home, and you got to read it. It is amazing, scintillating story. Got to read it, all right? Go home, chapter 37, 39 through 50. Got it? Good, read it. Okay, so, but I'm going to give you some three like main points real quick, all right? If I could break it down into just three bullet points, I mean, it's almost a crime to do so. There's so much detail in the story. But the story of Joseph and how he became a second chance receiver and how he gained a second chance perspective, it starts out like this. Joseph was the youngest brother of many children, and he was the favorite. And his older brothers hated him. They hated him so much that they decided one day they were going to try to kill him. And they almost succeeded in killing him, except they didn't want his blood on their hands. So they sold him into slavery. Now, you talk about hashtag sibling rivalry, right? I mean, that's, whoa, hey, this is stepping it up a couple of notches here. Imagine that, though. I mean, what's worse? Killing me or selling me into slavery where I am just a piece of property? Can you imagine what was going on through Joseph's mind? Like, I can't believe my brothers are doing this to me right now. They're slapping probably chains and cuffs on him, and he's about to be pulled away with all the other slaves in this slave trade caravan. And his brothers are going, "Hey, how much money did you get for him? That's pretty good. Hey, see you later. Adios. Shalom." Whoa. Hey. What's up with that? How in the world is Joseph going to get a second chance perspective on this? Well, as it turns out, Joseph goes from being a sold into slavery person, and then we get to the tail end of the story, and we discover that this very same Joseph, the one who was sold into slavery, the one who his brother hated, he became the most powerful man in all of Egypt except for Pharaoh. And even Pharaoh trusted him with everything in the land. How in the world did that happen? How did Joseph go from slave, good as dead, to the most powerful man in the most powerful empire of the time? I think it's because he had a second chance perspective. When do you think Joseph got a second chance, though? You know, we tend to have this misconception about second chances. And the misconception is that a second chance exists so that I can have good things happen to me. So I get a second chance and I all of a sudden get to this mountaintop experiences. But what if a second chance is actually something that we see as negative? What if God allows bad things, we would call them bad things, into our lives, negative things, hurtful things into our lives because that is really our second chance? What if God allows those, perhaps orchestrates those, into our lives because he's setting us up to receive a second chance so that one day we can unconditionally give a second chance. Give a second chance to someone we don't want to give it to, someone who doesn't deserve it, but we can give it and it could change everything. And I don't know about you, but I look into second chance in the struggles of my life, and I have a really hard time seeing God's second chances in my difficulties, the struggles. You know, I'm pretty sure that when Joseph was sold into slavery, he wasn't going, "Woo, praise God, hallelujah, this is going to be a second chance for me." I don't think so. I don't think Joseph was that kind of a person. I think Joseph had a hard time, just as you and I would have a hard time when we do have a hard time when we're in our struggles, don't we? And we have a hard time seeing God in our struggles, I think, for two reasons. One, it's because we don't have an eternal perspective. We're going to get to this eternal perspective in a minute. But Joseph being set up for a second chance has ramifications for all of history. Sometimes our second chances that we have a chance to give could have powerful impact on other people. But we fail to see the eternal perspective. And so we fail to see God's second chances in our difficulties. I think sometimes we also fail to see who God is in our struggles. We see a part of God, the part of God that we want to see, but we don't see the scope of who he is. Here's what I mean. Look at the verse 20 of chapter 50 again. This is how we typically read this, all right? Bible says, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good." And we stop and we put our Bible down and we say, you know, these bad things that are happening to me, God means it for good for me. I'm going to get some good coming out of this. This is going to be good things. And we say things like, you know, trials and tribulations, and those are going to be good for me. But we have this false theology because we don't read the rest of the Bible. Because the Bible doesn't ever say that a bad situation, a struggle for you, is going to turn into something good for you. No, no, no. It didn't turn necessarily into all good for Joseph either. The bigger picture was this. The rest of verse 20, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good." What good? What was going on? The good that was to accomplish what is now being done. The saving of many lives. You see, what Joseph realized is that an unconditional second chance, giving a second chance to someone I don't want to give it to, giving a second chance to someone who's done unspeakable evils to me, someone who has done things that are painful, painful beyond anything I feel I can bear, giving a second chance to that person has the power to change everything, because a second chance has powerful impact. A second chance has powerful impact on the receiver, has powerful impact on the giver. The second chance has powerful impact even on history itself. This is why I love the story of Joseph so much, why I want you to go home and read chapters 37 and chapters 39 through 50, because we get to see in the story of Joseph a God perspective. We get to see the series of second chances that led to changing everything. Okay. Let's get some more details about the story of Joseph so we can wrap our minds around this. So here's Joseph, all right? He went from a slave. He went from someone who his brothers had tried to forget about him, to the most powerful man in all of Egypt, except for Pharaoh himself. But Pharaoh himself even gave all power and authority to him. And one day, in the middle of a terrible drought, a drought that God had revealed to Pharaoh in a dream, a drought that God had interpreted through Joseph to Pharaoh, that this drought was going to come. It's going to completely make your land just totally desolate. Not only your land, but all the lands around it. And here's how you can get away from it. That's the reason why Joseph got elevated from a slave to number two in charge of all of Egypt. So here he is in charge of all of Egypt, and here come his brothers begging him for food. Because back home in the land of Canaan, the drought is just as bad. Their children and their wives and their families are starving. Their flocks are starving. They have no food. But they don't recognize this man in front of them. Because last they saw Joseph, he was a young teenager. And here he is, a full-grown man, decked out with all the regalia of an Egyptian nobleman. He looked like royalty. He looked like an Egyptian. And he wasn't recognized by his brothers. Now, I don't know about you, but at this point, and if this was a movie, and at this point, if the brothers come to Joseph, and Joseph's got all this power, and they're begging him for food, I'm like, yeah, the bad guys are going to get what's theirs, right? Because let's be honest, we all like it when the bad guys gets what's coming to them, don't we? Joseph had all power and all authority to say, you know what, I know who you are. Off with your heads, man. Vengeance is mine. He had all power and all authority to do that, and nobody would have questioned him, not even Pharaoh. But instead, what does he do? He gives him a second chance. He says, you don't deserve it. I mean, think about it. You guys tried to kill me. You beat me up. You left me for dead, but then so you could kind of cleanse your consciences, you sold me so that my death wouldn't be on your hands. Now it's on the slave traders. He had every right to do that, but he didn't. He said, I forgive you. I forgive you. I love you. You know what? Go get your families. Go get dad. Go get everybody. Bring him here. Live in Egypt. You can have the best of the land. Can you imagine the impact that must have had on everyone? It had a powerful impact on Joseph. But understand, Joseph didn't decide then to give a second chance. Joseph decided many years ago when he was a slave that he came to terms with, this is what God is doing. I don't understand it, but he's giving me a second chance here, the beginnings of a second chance. And now his brother's in front of him. He has the joy of reunifying the family, of seeing that his brothers are still alive. And there's got to be a sense of peace that he has within him, that this is the right thing to do. Can you imagine the feeling the brothers had when they suddenly realized that the man in front of them, the most powerful man who is now renowned around all of this empire because of how he single-handedly saved Egypt, this is Joseph. Oh man, we're going to get it. We're done for. Can you imagine the feeling they must have had when Joseph said, I forgive you? Oh, the weight and the regret that was on their shoulders for all these years just melts away. Could you imagine that? But not only on the giver and the receiver was there a powerful impact, this second chance particularly had powerful impact that would give impact all of history. You see, what we go on to learn from this story is that all of Joseph's brothers, Joseph himself, and Joseph's two sons become the founding fathers of 12 tribes that would become the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel, centuries after this, would become a mighty, powerful nation. They would actually exit Egypt, and we see that in the next book of Exodus in the Bible. And they would not only exit Egypt, but they would come to the Promised Land, and they would set up a kingdom there, and they would be a powerful nation. And they would be the nation that God decided he would call his people. And this nation is interesting because this is the nation that God chose to impact humanity with. You see, that second chance that Joseph gave not only changed his brothers, but it changed all of us. You see, his oldest brother, Judah, you read it, when you go home and read it, you're going to see, Judah, least of all, deserved a second chance. This man was a lowdown, he was a scumbag. He did not deserve a second chance at all. And yet, Joseph gave it to him. And that second chance, completely undeserved, completely unconditional, changed everything about Judah. And we know this because we see his descendants acting completely different than he did. Something changed in his heart when Joseph gave him a second chance. And that's something he taught to his children, and his children taught to their children. And centuries later, when his brothers became the nation of Israel, we see that all the other tribes of the nation of Israel totally turned their backs on God except for the tribe of Judah. And it is through the tribe of Judah that God chose to ultimately give us all the ultimate second chance. And that is Jesus Christ came as the Lion of Judah, the scripture says, direct descendant from the tribe of Judah, all because of a second chance that was given to Judah, who didn't deserve it, shouldn't have got it, but was given to him freely, and it changed everything. A second chance that Joseph gave him when he probably didn't feel like giving it to him because of how much pain Judah had given him, but he gave it. And that second chance alone impacts us all. See, that's why I love the story of Joseph, because we see the power of a second chance and how it impacts everyone. What about you? Do you have it in your power right now to give a second chance to somebody, but you're withholding it? Saying, Don, you don't understand what they did, man. The pain that they've caused me and my family. Now, I don't understand. But I do know this. The Bible says in Colossians 3:13, the Apostle Paul, he writes to the church, to us, and he says, hey, guys, listen, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Give a second chance as the Lord has given you a second chance. Over and over and over again. He says, unconditionally, not because you feel like it, not because they deserve it, unconditionally, give a second chance because it will change everything. It will change you. It will change them. It could even change their eternity if you give them that second chance. You see, friends, God has given us a second chance, but God is not the God of second chances. God is the God of another chance, and another one, and another one, and another one, and as many as we need, so long as we draw breath. God gives us second chances so that we can give second chances to others. Because an unconditional second chance given has the power to change everything. You see on your handout, there's some personal challenges. It's not a personal challenge from me to you. This is a challenge that I hope as you're reading through the Genesis account of Joseph, that you will read and make part of your life and understanding that God has given you a second chance so that you can give it to others. And understanding that an unconditional second chance will change everything. So the question is, will you give it? Will you give that unconditional second chance as God has given it to us? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to say thank you so much for the second chance that you have given to us through your Son, Jesus. It is so neat to see in the scripture how a second chance reverberates throughout centuries and has powerful impact on us here today, right now where we're sitting. And God, may that be a powerful lesson of the power of a second chance. God, I ask for those of us who call ourselves Christ followers, who have a relationship with you, that you would give us the courage and the strength to give a second chance where we need to give it, because you've given it to us. We say thank you for that second chance. For those of us here today, we don't know you as, we don't have a relationship with you. We wouldn't say we're Christ followers. God, I ask that you would show us that second chance. Help us to understand that second chance, that we could accept the second chance you've given us so that we could in turn show that second chance to others, share it with them. God, thank you for loving us so much that you give us unconditional second chances over and over and over again. We thank you for that. In Jesus' precious name, amen.